With society's endless expectations upon you and mental health and anxiety issues on the rise, finding your true authentic self can be challenging. Being your true self is a key and never a mistake, because you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically. Join Dr. Kim R. Grimes as she creates a safe space and initiates influential conversations about you being you. Listen to discussions featuring step-by-step guides, techniques, and principles that you can sink your teeth into about uncovering your greatness, triggering a mindset shift, and living beyond your limiting beliefs. The time to connect with who you were created to be and fall madly, in love with you starts now. Here's your host, Dr. Kim R. Grimes.
Hello, 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 everyone. It's me again. I'm back. Yay. Welcome, you guys. Welcome back to Yay You. You are you unapologetically. And it is always an honor to have you guys join us. Welcome. Thank you. You know, I love you guys. And that's a fact. Really? So in the post-COVID era, I'm witnessing so much dishonesty, untrustfulness, and more. And I'm quite sure you all have been witnessing it as well. So let's just jump in to what we're talking about today. Every day or every week, we hear in the news or read it in the news feed. If you're anything like, you know, my husband, he likes to listen to smart news. So, but here's the thing. We find out that somebody has been found out, right? This person had a secret and they had something going on in the background of their life. And now everybody knows about it. It's been discovered. They have been living a double life. Say it isn't so. But they have been. They've been lying to the people that depend on them, lying to their family, their friends, their colleagues, their coworkers, and the people in their community. And now they have been found out, discovered, uncovered, busted, because they've been harboring and living with a secret. How could they do such a thing, you would ask? But wait, how could they live with themselves? One might even ask, how could they carry on for so long keeping up a charade? Can you see them? Look, picture this, showing up for dinner and acting as if everything is normal, acting as if nothing happened, looking in their spouse's eyes, right, and their children's faces. And how could they betray? How could they betray their family and friends and their community, their tribe? How could they do such a thing, knowing that one day it may become public knowledge, and once it does, it's going to destroy everything. It's going to destroy their family, friends, right? Their friendships are going to go out the window. It's going to undermine their career and undermine their lives. So how do they live with themselves? Question, right? So here's the thing. The reason why it's so difficult for us, for me, and you maybe to imagine how could they live with themselves is we put ourselves in their situation and then we think, I couldn't live with myself, or I couldn't do such a thing and live with myself. Well, we tell ourselves that my conscience, my integrity, like that would not allow me to do such a thing and continue to live with myself. But here's the truth. Here's the truth, you guys. You could live with yourself. Mm-hmm. I could live with myself. Yep. Think about it. If my current self is left unattended, if my current inner self is neglected, I don't go in, it's neglected. If my current inner being does not see a better future for me, I could live with myself. In fact, my current self will live with myself in spite of the unhealthy version I have become. Let me get to this point, you guys. So where my external self, you know, the side that people see of us when it's so far away from what I am on the inside, truly on the inside, it is easy for me to think, oh, it can't happen to me. And then it's easy for you to think the same thing. See, people, we think it can't happen to us, but believe it or not, it does. And that's why it happens, because we believe that it won't, and it does. So in this series, we're talking about how you guard your inner self, your true inner being, so that you can live with yourself. That's what we're talking about. And so in this series, it's about you living with yourself. So how can you live with yourself? So allow me to share, guys. I'm a bona fide Jesus follower. And so I'm going to come with some kind of scripture to support what I'm talking about, or give some kind of leverage to validate what I want to say, what I'm saying. So Proverbs 4:23 says, we should guard our heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issue of life. Now, this scripture implies that whenever we allow our hearts, I'm doing this for our heart, if our hearts is not examined, if we don't examine or evaluate it properly, we will undoubtedly be expressed, and it will undoubtedly be expressed in our lives and in our actions in positive and negative ways. And so talking about heart, I'm going to be doing this as well, because I believe this is our heart, even though we think this is our mind, but things come into this first before it hits this. So I'm talking this, you're going to see me do this, and heart as well. There's a book that I want to share. It's called As a Man Thinketh. This book was written by James Allen. It's a small book and an easy read book. I mean, it's about like that. But the title is influenced by a verse also from Proverbs, and it comes from chapter 23, verse 7. And it says, as a man thinketh, that's why I'm using heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we can do some thinking in our heart, but most of the thinking we do up here. So that explains why I'm doing, hang with me, right? I'm not going to confuse you. But I want to read a quote from this book. And it says, the more tranquil a man becomes, the greater is his success, his influence, his power for good. Calmness of mind is one of the beautiful jewels of wisdom. Men are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. Circumstances does not make the man. It reveals him to himself. And I want to point out, even though we're saying men, we're talking about women as well. So again, in this series, we're talking about, and I already said it, heart. We're interchanging it to saying our inner self or our inner being as well. So we all know that life is not always kind. Some of us, it's been really tough and rough on us. And we don't have to live long for us to know that life is hard on our soul. So when I say soul, I am talking about our interior life. I'm talking about our inner being, heart. You know that inside part where you fear, where you worry, you have hope, dreams, wishes, you experience disappointment and failures, all while putting on a happy face. So my question with that is, with that being said, who do people get when they get you? Who do people get when you show up, when you go to work, when you go to school, when you're hanging out with friends, interacting with your loved ones, spending time with your spouse and your children? Who do people get when they get you? And how do you show up? Are you one way with a group of people and another way with another group of people? Is the person on the inside, the inside of you, completely different from the person on the outside? Here's the thing. Whether it's our appearance, our performance, our reputation, we attend to those outward things so much faster than we will do our inner thing. Why? Did you ask why? Okay, here's why. Because we know people are watching us. People are looking at us. People are expecting things from us. They are competing with us. They want our approval. They want acceptance. They want attention. And they want progress. So it's important. It's natural to pay attention to our exterior. That's what we do. It's a natural thing. We all have a public life. All of us. Every last one of us. And that's on display. But there is only one person. Only one person who can be attentive to your soul, to your heart, to your inner being. Only one person. There's only one person who can pay attention and be attentive and make sure they know what's going on in your heart and your inner being. So the question goes back to this. How can you live with yourself? How? What are the habits do you have that will ensure that yourself, that the self that you're living with is the self that is on display. What are the convictions you have? What are the values and the beliefs that you have that will ensure that what people see on the outside is what they are actually getting? Here's a fact. Even if your inner being, my inner being, our inner beings is healthy. Healthy inner beings, even if they're super healthy inner beings, if they are left unattended, if it's left unattended, it will become unhealthy, super unhealthy. That is, clearly nothing gets better when it's left unattended. So the health of your inner being determines your capacity, your ability to live with a version of yourself that you don't really like. A version of yourself that you never desired to be. The health of your inner being determines how wide the gap is between you, between who you really are, that is, and who you pretend to be. It determines how far that gap can expand before you finally crack or confess or break down or be found out. The health of your inner being, your heart, your soul has very little tolerance. The health, that is, for the lack of integrity. The healthy heart realizes when what's going on the inside is not reflected on the outside, and what's reflected on the outside is showing up better than what's on the inside, then the healthy heart, yes, that healthy heart, that inner self being, it knows, it's going to say to you, hey, it might pull you over to the side. Look, we got some work to do. We got some work we need to get done. And the reason being is because the healthy inner self is one. Their integrity, the integrity of your inside and outside, are in sync. Mm-hmm. The health of your inner being, your inner self, like I said, determines how far things will go before your conscience just won't let you pretend anymore. The health of your soul determines how willing you are to lie to others and how easy it is for you to lie to yourself. So when you're no longer the self you used to be, when you're no longer the self you want to be, when you're no longer the self you always thought you would be, the true you that people can see, you are truly neglecting the health of your inner self. Neglect the health of your inner self or your inner being, and it will ultimately come back and haunt you. It will hurt you. It will hurt, more specifically, the people that are around you, the people who you love the most, those who are important to you. So don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. We have the potential. You have the potential. I have the potential. We all have the potential to become someone we despise. If our inner beings are left unattended, we could become the unimaginable. Yep, we can. If we don't do the work, you could become the unthinkable and you can live with yourself. That's what I'm talking about, because like I said, people do it all the time. It happens all the time. And they think, could never happen to me. I can't get caught. It won't happen. Oh, no. But here's my message to you. Don't get it twisted. Mm-mm. Don't get it twisted. Because the difference between those who avoid becoming the unimaginable and doing the unthinkable is the health of their inner being, the health of their heart, the health of their soul. They have the willingness and the ability to pay attention, but no, pay close attention to what's going on the inside. Now, let me ask you, do you? If not, how can you live with yourself? And if so, how can you live with yourself? We're discussing this topic, you guys. And before we jump in to the discussion, I have an amazing guest for you on this episode. She is so amazing. I'm telling you. So before I introduce our amazing guest, I want you guys to remember that work on this one topic. We have 6 to 8 guests that comes in that's going to speak to the same topic. So within our series, we have 6 to 8 episodes in the series that's speaking to the same topic. because for our diverse listeners, but we want a different perspective from different people. And so that's why I have multiple guests and we're talking about the same topic. Yay. All right. With that being said, are you guys ready to meet my guest? Are you guys ready? All right. My guest, my amazing guest. See, I got you guys wondering now, right? Because it's been a minute, but nevertheless, okay. My guest is the CEO and founder of PEHR Ministries, LLC, with over 20 years of practicing as a practicing physician and ordained minister. My guest has recently launched the Redemptive Brilliance Life Coaching Program and podcast dedicated to faith-based women working in hospice and palliative, I might have said that wrong, let me know, care. So with that all being said, please, 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 please help me to welcome my amazing guest to You Are You Unapologetically, Dr. Phyllis Hay-Ream. Everybody, let's give her a round of applause. Yay!
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Kim.
Wow. Thank you. So would you like me to call you Dr. Phyllis or just go with Phyllis?
Phyllis is fine.
Perfect. Okay. All right. So Phyllis, here's something that I like to ask all of our guests, and you know the answer. So how did we meet? Please share with our listeners, how did you and I meet?
Well, I'm always giving credit to God that he brought us together in our wonderful mastermind with Mary Henderson, who is our coach, our business coach. And it's just been a blessing. Dr. Kim, as soon as I saw her come on, I'm like, oh yeah, this is someone I need to connect with. Thank you so much. It's such an honor.
Oh my gosh. No, thank you. And I am honored as well. I'm grateful. Thank you so much saying yes to being on Yay You. And so with that, that is the name. Well, our acronym is Yay You, but the name of the podcast is You Are You Unapologetically, which you know. So I want to start off with that because that's the name. And so with that being said, I want to ask you, what does it mean to you? To you, Phyllis, to be you unapologetically.
You have to give me an opportunity to kind of circle back because I was sitting here going, preach, sister, preach, preach, because you had a word there. I'm just like, you had a word. And everything you said resonated because I have been on a journey. Although there's been times I've gotten off the path of aligning who I am in Christ with who I show up as in the world. And it's been an amazing journey. And I have to say that probably for the past, oh man, I think God has been trying to get my attention and really flashing different messages across the sky for probably at least the past 10 years, if not longer, maybe even longer, that he had something else for me to do. And we can get caught up in these jobs. And really what I think it comes down to is we believe in God through Jesus Christ. We want to be like him. Yet, as you mentioned earlier, if we're not careful, we will somewhat morph our faith, like walking by faith, into something subconsciously that's tangible, that we can put our hand on, we can feel it. And it's really a thing of control. We're really trying to control things, to have something, as you said, so we can put our hand on it. And there's nothing wrong. I know you agree with this. Nothing wrong with jobs. Jobs are a blessing. Achievements are a blessing because they're all from God. Yet we have to make sure that we continue to keep him as a center. And so let me just really break it down. I know that God called me to practice medicine because I wanted to be of service. And I've always had a passion for older adults. I've just been around them for years. And when I was in medical school, there were lecturers on geriatrics. And one of those who wanted to do OBGYN, I wanted to be a surgeon. But when they started talking about geriatrics and being a specialist of older adults, I'm like, this is what I enjoy. I'm all in. I knew I was going to internal medicine, then do my fellowship training in geriatrics, and I loved it. I truly loved it. Yet in my mind, you continually, you know that you go to college, you go to medical school, you do fellowship and then another fellowship, and then you get your feeling potentially of worth and value in those different achievements, which is nothing wrong with it. But if you don't nurture what's inside, as you mentioned, and continually understand where the place is for those achievements. Now, understand, God called me to ministry. I had asked him, I said, now, Lord, wait a minute now. Are you talking to me?
Look, I know that conversation. You look around and you're like, talking to, look, you want like that pillow or that chair to come to life because you want it to be that who he's talking about. So go ahead.
Exactly. I tell you, I went to several other women in ministry. I'm like, and even my pastor at that time, I'm like, the Lord told me that he wants me to go into ministry. I wanted them to say no. I wanted my family somehow to say, no, don't do that. But everyone was like, go for it. Well, you're not giving me the answer I want. But I did that. And I definitely felt called. That's where, again, I wanted to align myself, the spirit and the physical, what I'm doing. But I wish I could tell you everything lined up at that time. I wish I could tell you that.
You're not by yourself. Earlier, I said life isn't kind, right? Some of us treated us rough. And so go right ahead.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you that but I went to the seminary, did that, joined the ministerial staff at my church, did that. And then still at work, I felt I needed to do more. I wanted to serve in a leadership position. So I did that. Now, I understand all this is going on at the same time, plus very active in the community. I haven't forgotten. I'm just painting the picture so you know what was going on with the sister here. And I'm volunteering in the community because that was important. And God really started talking to me, Kim. I remember being in the midst of this, married, have children, lost my dad in 2002, and my mom, she passed in 2001, but it was even before that, been a lot going on. But even before that, I would say probably in 2018, 2019, it was almost like God was just like hitting a gong, but Phyllis wasn't getting it. You know what I'm saying?
I tell God, you know I'm slow, right? But go ahead.
You're so right, because consider other people would consider me pretty fast. But I was really slow with that. I can remember sitting in one of the administrative meetings because, you know, I'd be ripping and running, going to administrative meeting, going to see patients. Because by then, I had evolved into doing dementia care. And then after my dad passed in 2002, I felt called to do hospice, which was totally not in my original plan. So I do predominantly hospice and palliative care.
And did I pronounce that right? Palliative?
You're very good. Palliative, you're good. You're good.
I'm good for chopping up words, but go ahead.
You're good. And so I can remember sitting in a meeting and just all at once looking around at the other leaders in the meeting and just feeling out of sorts, like in a parallel universe, so to speak.
Right.
And I can remember that. But of course, what do? It's about us. It's something that is wrong with us. And so, but I just put that in the back of my mind and kept on running on that hamster wheel. And then I can remember, again, in 2019, where I was overstretched, overextended, 50 pounds overweight, and really unhealthy, okay? And I tell people it's kind of like a Forrest Gump moment where you're just like, something is wrong here. I'm like, I'm ready to stop running. But again, that I did not know how to do it because I had been on the hamster wheel and so much of, for sake of another word, my sense of worth or looking for validation was external. And it was only when God was like, now, you know what? I've been trying to give you a chance to catch up. I've been trying to get you, you know, to just like, let's get with the program. I've been trying to leave it to you, Phyllis, to voluntarily jump off the hamster wheel. But sister, you're not getting it. So as the loving father I am going to yank that emergency cord on that treadmill and do it for you because you're not doing it. And it was one of those situations that it was wild that he just did. He just slowed everything down. And because I had led my department, I was over a department and with seven divisions, I look back now saying, Lord, ooh. And through the first wave of COVID. So I had done all that. And so the Lord said, enough. So I came out of that position and I was kind of like, okay, Lord, there's no new goal to set. You know what I'm saying? Because you've done everything.
What do I do now, right?
Like, there's no rock to go hide under, no rock of achievement or goal to go hide under now.
Yes.
So I remember sitting and I just was crying here. And it was crying because I was just like, to be honest, it was a situation where I had just overextended and overextended for others. And as I say, God has a way of saying, okay, no more. And then I'm just kind of with my hands going, what do I do now, Lord? And what he said was, you're going to stop leaning on yourself and you're going to start leaning on me because I called you for something else. You keep trying to put a period where I only meant there to be a comma.
Yes. Come on. Say that. Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It blew my mind because I realized, and I had to stop beating myself up about it, because medicine is a blessing and I still enjoy doing the hands-on. I'm loving doing the hands-on and with my team, my home care team. But medicine is just a means to what he has for me to do. It's not the end. And that is really the message, is that when we're in these, our professions, which I feel is a part of ministry, is what can I do to make where I am better? Because God didn't mean for us just to go through the motions. It's moving. You know what I'm saying? You don't get a redo. It is about setting the appropriate boundary, but you need to be in that moment and do the best that you can do in that moment without getting caught up. And that really was a huge wake-up call. Because here, I mean, for years, it was all about, okay, I've achieved this. What do I do next? What do I do next? And in the midst, and I just praise him. I just praise him for loving me so much, because he could have left me on that treadmill. He could have said, okay, well, you're not getting it. Like you said, you slow. So just stay on there until you just fall out. And you end up like the high priest where the bell stop ringing and they can't pull you out. Because it's too many people in medicine. And I've had doctors that I know who died while they were on the job. It don't make no sense. So I thank him so much.
None whatsoever. So here's what I hear you saying, is that when it came to you being you unapologetically, for years, you were clueless. You did not know what that was because you were too busy being other things for other people, so much where you overextended yourself, where you totally and completely lost your identity. And so you tied it to whatever was the next thing, whatever was good, like, okay, yeah, there I go. I'm supposed to be here. Oh, done with this. Next. This is me here. Nope. Okay, done. Now I'm over here. And so that's what I hear you saying in what you were sharing, that this has been a long haul. And for me to ask that question, it's like, whoa, like, I want you all to know that I wasn't like, it took me a minute to get to where I can be me unapologetically. That's what I hear you saying.
No, and you're so right, because we all are at different places on the learning curve. And once I did catch up, and once I realized that the sun would still rise and set without me doing those other tasks, I have to say, for the first time in my life, to not feel that I have to try to do everything, but to start over instead of working from the outside in, but to reconnect with the inside, with what God has for me to do, and to put everything and everybody in the proper perspective and place in my life. It was a journey. It was a transformation, but it's been one of liberation and peace. You can't put a value or price tag on. You just cannot. And so now to be able to truly be living my life unapologetically, is to be able to start every day and say, Lord, what is it that you have for me to do? And to be able to enjoy my job, be Phyllis, because I'm going to be Phyllis. I'm not worried about what somebody's going to think, because you know we all reach a certain age, should we? Okay, I have paid my dues. So what's most important is the relationships of those that are important. My team is important. Those relationships are important. And so now I'm able to be present for my patients. I'm present for my team. I'm really present for my family, because I had to go back and apologize to my family. And they were like, but you're always, you know, yeah. From the outside, I was the mom driving everybody everywhere, getting kids to practice, doing this. I wasn't fully present. And when you're not fully present, you give your family the leftovers. You give yourself the leftovers.
Please say that again. Yes, our listeners need to hear that. Please say that again.
When we're not fully present and we're not first nurturing that relationship with God, and being the most that he's created us to be, which means taking care of ourselves, mind, body, and soul, spirit, and misplacing priorities, then you end up giving yourself, those most important, your family, your friends, the leftovers. We deserve better, and they deserve better.
Right. And usually the leftovers isn't much, and they're not good. Like, I don't care for leftovers. My husband, he'll tell you, like, but he eats leftovers for breakfast, right? So it's like, we don't have much leftovers here. I want to say what you said, something was so on point, and you connected a dot. You connected the dot of being you unapologetically requires you being present. Like, that is so huge. And we miss it, that even in this time, what we're sharing right now, we're present to the conversation. We're present to each other. And then taking it, once we're done, being present with the people and the moment, because that's what's important. I was thinking, you people say you live only once. And I'm like, no, you die only once, right? You live every day, every day. And I didn't come up with it. I overheard this on like CNN or somebody. They were talking about their drunk uncle or whatever. And so they said it was so profound. Like, it was like, it's so easy for us to say that, you know, you only live only once. And it's a, what is it? The YOLO? That's the acronym for it. And it's like, no, they got that wrong. You die only once. You live every day. In living every day, it requires you to be present in that day, in that moment, to the people who cross your path. And so you have shared, in what you shared, you have shared the different situations or incidents that occurred that caused you not to want to live with yourself, right? You have shared how not having a healthy inner being, how it impacts you and it impacts the people around you. And then recognizing it, you also have been sharing how knowing that it made your life better because you were like, all right, right, even with God help, got you off of that hamster wheel. And so what I want to ask you is, what advice would you give to someone whose outside is totally different from their inside? And how can you help them to become healthy inside? What can you share?
No, thank you, because that really has really been my commitment, is that anything I can do to help streamline someone else's journey so they don't have to go through, they don't have to be slow like I was, is you first have to take care of yourself. You got to start with you. And I'm going to say this. I coined it. I don't know. Somebody else made it. But I always tell people martyrdom is overrated, underappreciated. And we need to get off of that. Because especially we as women, and sometimes maybe we've seen elders and we have our own perception and of what they've done, or this whole idea of what we're supposed to do. And often it comes back to us. It's something that we're trying to get from that. And I would say, because I had to get myself healthy, I had to recommit to my own, doesn't matter ordained or not, I had to get figure out where my spirit was and what I needed to do to nourish my spirit and connect with God on a daily basis. I had to make the commitment to get physically active and move, but I wasn't looking for a quick fix because it doesn't last and you're not going to do it. So you just try to move each day and to really be willing to do the deep work, looking in the mirror and not doing it alone, because you're not alone. You're not alone. And so we as women, because sometimes when you feel that way, you look out and you think everybody else is good and you're the only one. And so I would just say that first declare what you need to do, that you're not happy with where you're at, and then get someone that you can trust to talk. And it may not be your support system that you think is your support system, okay?
And they may not look like you either.
You said it. And you're not alone. And I think we, again, I still speak so much to women because I have a heart for women's ministry, is that we have to invest in ourselves, because we will invest in everybody else. We'll give our last dollar for everybody else. You have to invest, because God's created you. He's created you. And so everything he has for us. So you have to work at it from all three. That's really what, to me, redemptive brilliance is about, is that, and I've gone through different versions and ideas over the years, but redemptive because of Christ, because we are redeemed through him. So that we, that because what he did for us once and for all, every day we have new beginning. And brilliance because we tend to try to cover up our brilliance. And we think that we're being egotistical or prideful, but God created us. You know, as long as we keep that God is the reason that we're blessed, it is nothing wrong to shine. And we need to stop looking for other people to validate us and validate ourselves. So every day we're redeemed, and I'm committed to help other women to get that dullness, get it shined up, and change their perspective, their outlook on life. And especially, I mean, I think what I offer in the Redemptive Brilliance, my coaching program, because ultimately that's what God has called me to do, is women's ministry. He's just packed my bag along the years with the different experiences. And I found that especially women in fields, and I speak to my own as in palliative and hospice, is that we give out a lot and we have to show up for every patient, every household. And you can't come in there looking at, they need you to give to them in a very critical and difficult time. And you imagine you go to, let's just make up a number, 6 of those houses a day, and you're giving out because every patient and every household is different. And often we feel it's a gift when we get a patient on service months, 6 months or longer, so we can develop that relationship. But too often we get patients that they're in crisis mode, their passing is coming up soon. And so from the perspective of the provider, that's a lot of energy and a lot of being, it, to me, it is a calling. It's not an assignment to be in hospice and palliative care. And the giving out and the giving out, and understand that we're still mothers and wives and sisters and aunts. So I know what I go through on a daily basis. And it gets back to what you were saying about continually being in tune to who we are, because this type of work can make you fatigued, compassion fatigued.
And wear out. It can literally wear you out. And because I hear clearly what you're saying, because when it comes to hospice, like, first of all, nobody wants to hear that word. And then to be in that environment, that still takes a lot of, and you have to go in prepared. You have to go in prepared, just like you said, to serve the family members that are there, who already are beginning to grieve and mourn the loss of a loved one who it just has not been official. They just not have taken their last breath. And so it's like, it's a different thing, because it's, you see them there and you're wondering when you show up, there's a lot of questions, So what I'm saying to you is I totally get exactly what you're saying. And I think, like you said, this is more of a calling, because everyone's not cut out for this. Everyone's not. And what I want to do, because of who you are and what you shared with us already, I would really, really love for you to share. Please share how people can get in contact with you, Dr. Phyllis, because, and I'm trying to realize now, did I say Dr. Phyllis? Did I say Dr. Phyllis Hayes Rain? Or did I just, well, anyway, I just wanted to make sure if I did not say your whole name, I need to get it on.
No, you did. You did.
So here's what I would love for you to do, because this is a topic that touch everyone's lives. Like, we are not exempt. And so please share, how can people get in contact with you? One, and then I would love for you to give your closing remarks. What is it that you would love to share with people on how can they live with themselves about managing their inner, like to call it, inner landscape as well, and so that they can be. So please, one, how do they get in contact with you? If anyone wants to get in contact with you, the listeners who are listening, one, then two, what are those, that one thing that you want our listeners and those who are watching to take away from what it is that you're sharing on this episode?
Thank you so much, Dr. Kim. You said everything. You said it all. I am so excited that we have the Redemptive Brilliance podcast. And I really invite everyone to please take a listen. It's available now on YouTube and Spotify. And I'm also available under Phyllis Hayes Reams, and it has the other titles, MD and PHMA, and LinkedIn. Also at Dr. Phyllis Hayes Reams on Instagram, Facebook. I'm going to be honest, I'm on Twitter, but I don't do a whole lot on Twitter. But I would really am asking everyone to get the word out, especially for women that you know who are working in hospice and palliative care, home health, oncology, those that you know who are working in these fields, that they're giving, giving, giving. I really want to start a movement across the world so that we have a community that we can come and talk together. We're not here to talk about patients. That's not what it's about. We automatically understand what each other are going through and what we see. And I want to focus on the person. And then the last question you asked, I guess I'm just going to leave you with my little nugget that martyrdom is overrated and is underappreciated. So we're called to be Christ-like. There's only one Christ. We can never be him, but we're here to be like him. That means to take care of our temple, mind, body, and soul. And thank you, Dr. Kim. I'm just so blessed and honored to be on your podcast. So thank you for this opportunity.
Oh my gosh. I am so honored to have you as well. Sometimes the gratitude that I feel when I bring on guests such as yourself, it's like I can't find words, but thank you. I know you get it, but it's like I am so grateful and so honored, even though I'm not physically in your presence, but to have your presence on this podcast, I'm honored as well. And so I just want to say thank you so very much. And thank you for the juicy conversation. It definitely is for such a time as this and where we are. And I love how you were able to go in and share, right? And that's what I wanted. I wanted you to share your journey, what's going on. And then I even like how you shared, how you got to being you unapologetically. That was amazing as well. And so again, I just want to say thank you again and again. Truly appreciate you. And we will definitely be in touch.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, you guys. So with that, for our amazing guest, I'm always asking this question, and I think I will continue to ask this question. How many decisions would you say that you are away from totally wrecking your life, totally screwing up your life? How many decisions? I know that it only takes one. So if you're thinking of more than that, reel it in. Because it's so easy. It is so easy to lose yourself in today's clashing ideas, conflicting belief, and the tsunami of information that overwhelms us every day, every day. And with society's rigid expectations and endless opinion of self-expression and self-appreciation, oh my gosh, it makes us feel it's a challenging and daunting experience. And so with that being said, most of the time, such a thing calls you to dumb down, to hide and who you really are and just go with the flow, just ride the wave. But I need you to know that you are you unapologetically. And that means being true to who you are and how you were created and not allowing people's opinions of who you are, right? Of what they think to show up in your life and or affect how you show up. Not allowing people, whatever it is that they have to say about you or they're going to say, because you know people are going to talk. That's no ifs, ands, buts about it. I need you to understand that we have no time. You have no time to be intimidated by the presence of others and think little of yourself. We ain't got time for that. You ain't got time for that. So when you show up without pretense and hesitation, the world cannot dull your glamour. They cannot dim your light. They can't. And most importantly, you will be inspired to shine your light so brightly you will share it. And you will help others to tap into their inner beings and their brilliance. Yes, please, 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 please. Let's all put an end to this. Let's put an end to the disparaging mindset and begin to own our authentic self. We have to do that. This is a must. And so what I want you to do, I want you to join me here in this safe space. Where you guys know I'm going to initiate an influential conversation, a discussion that we're going to have about what? About being you. Because I want you to be you unapologetically. No one, absolutely no one, I tell you, no one is better at being you than you. They don't exist. Only you exist. And so stop looking for someone. Don't, because they're not out there. No one is better at being you than you. So be you unapologetically. Until the next episode, I'll see you later, you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for all your time and your support. And thank you for being here. We can't do it without you. Mwah! Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. May this transformational discussion shift your mindset so you can live in possibility, so you can step higher in your greatness and stand bolder in your brilliance. Do not wait another minute. Start now to uncover your greatness and begin to fall madly, madly, did I say madly, in love with you. The journey to unleashing and owning your true self doesn't end here. Be sure to subscribe to the show at KimRGrimes.com. Leave a rating and gear up for more conversations like this one. See you on the next episode. And remember, you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically.